Guys, what's going on? Welcome back to the How to Become a Pro Footballer podcast. This is our fifth in-person podcast. This is our 109th podcast. Today we got my guy Manny coming on, originally from South Sudan, grew up in New Zealand. Now he's playing in Latvia. We met the other day, a couple weeks ago. I noticed he was good friends and a teammate of a guy we had on the podcast, William Akiel. So just naturally, I went up to him. And yeah, want to hear about his journey. I know you guys are going to learn a lot. So without further ado, yeah, if you could just introduce yourself to the audience and we'll get going.
Hey guys, so I'm Manny, you know, born in South Sudan, but grew up in New Zealand. And here I am playing football in Latvia. Yes.
What position? How old are you?
So I'm 23. I play center defensive midfielder. Yes, for FK Elder and for the South Sudan national team.
Awesome, brother. Awesome. Yeah, so if you could just take us through, you know, your journey to become a pro footballer. It's the main reason I have the podcast. I think a lot of people nowadays, they see, you know, on social media, they see a lot of the shiny things. They see the Rolexes, the Ferraris, the Lambos, but we both know there's tons of highs and lows in this game. Yes. And unfortunately, we don't all get paid that amount of money right now. So right. It's a grind and it's a process to get there. Yeah, Manny, so if you could just take us through your journey up into, you know, signing your first pro contract. Yeah, like when did you start playing? How old were you? Where did you start playing? And how did you fall in love with the game? Because I think that's the most important. I think a lot of people nowadays are pressed by people, but I think, you know, we both know you gotta always go back to the why and the love for the game.
Right. Yeah, so I started playing football in New Zealand. In 2006, at the age of six, I played for like a small local club, a Nine Soccer Club. I played there until the age of like 14. And then I went to high school, St. Bernard's, and I played for the high school team for like a couple of years. And then I joined like a club under 17 side, Lower Hutt. So I was there for like a season, I think at Lower Hutt. Yeah, then I went to another club, Wellington Olympic. So the New Zealand guys would know that. So I was there for a bit, and then in New Zealand we have like one professional club, mm-hmm. the Wellington Phoenix. So I joined the national side, like the National League side in 2017. Yeah, that was very hard because like obviously I've never played at that level before. So like I struggled a bit, and then I didn't like really enjoy like football at that moment because it was very hard, you know. Mm. So then I decided to like just, I don't know, like take like a couple months off and just work and I just relaxed a bit from football.
How old were you when you took that time off?
17.
Okay.
Yeah. So I took some time off for like a few months, and then yeah. I went back to Wellington Olympic, the previous club. And I had a very good relationship with Stu Jacobs and James Prosser, who were the coaches then. So James had like a, he's from America, he's from Ohio.
Yeah.
So he had like a project of sending like players to university in the States.
Okay.
Yeah, so like we had like a showcase like January 2018, mm-hmm, I think. Mm-hmm, we had like a showcase.
In New Zealand.
Yeah, in New Zealand. Okay. So a few like universities from America came down and like took us through some training sessions and stuff like that. And I did like pretty well. Yeah, so I got like offered a scholarship to go to the States.
Nice.
For the end of 2018. So yeah, so we took that. Went there for like 6 months. It didn't really work out.
Yeah. What school was that?
I went to Rio Grande, which was like a
yeah,
NAIA.
Yeah. Was that a D2 or NAIA?
NAIA.
Okay. Good level there, yeah?
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like you had to study as well. And like growing up, I wasn't really into school.
Yeah. So neither were most of us.
So I found it very difficult. So then I dropped out. Then I wanted to focus on football. Like more, you know, without like studying and stuff.
Yeah.
So I joined like a New Zealand club as well, Wellington United. Mm. So one of the guys, Rafa, he's the coach, he took me to Belgium for like a trial at KV Mechelen. So I went there, that didn't really work out. I went to France and played for like a French team mm-hmm. over there. So I went and played there for a bit.
What league was that?
It was like, no, it wasn't a good league. It was just like more of like just social.
Yeah. Just get some minutes, yeah.
Yeah, so I went there, played there. And then I went to Australia to try like playing the NPL, I think two mm-hmm, at that mm-hmm. time, like mm-hmm. yeah, 2020. And then COVID happened. Yeah, so like the season got cancelled. So I went back to New Zealand. It was a lot of traveling back and forth from New Zealand to Australia during COVID, because I wasn't too sure if the season would like go on or like wouldn't go on.
Yeah.
So then fast forward, end of 2020, I got caught up to the national team for South Sudan. Yeah, so I went there, went to South Sudan, played a few games.
How did that look come about?
Right, so I knew one guy from Australia who was previously in the national team, Matiang.
Mm-hmm.
So he was close with the coach. So he messaged the coach for me, actually.
Love that.
Yeah, which is like, cool.
Yeah.
And the coach got in touch with me. And then, I went to South Sudan, had like a training camp there. And then the coach liked me, you know, and then we played a couple games against Uganda. Yeah, and then like at that moment, like I realized that like that it was possible to like be professional or like play at a higher level, like just playing against like just high class players just motivated me mm-hmm. to like actually give football like a big try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, brother. So like you said, you know, you went to join a pretty good side in New Zealand, competitive level, like you said. You never had been competing at that level. You saw how hard it was. What brought you there? And then, you know, you said you took a little bit of a break. Why did you, you know, decide to take that break? Because I get a lot of messages from young footballers who say they feel burnt out or, you know, should I take a break? What made you actually want to go through with that?
Yeah, so it was difficult, like, because I wasn't playing and like, we weren't getting paid as well, like the younger guys, you know? So obviously, like, I just want to just, and I had a girlfriend at the time as well, you know?
Yeah.
I had a girlfriend. So obviously I wanted to
I wanted to
buy her stuff and, you know, like make her happy. So then I just wanted to work, you know, to earn some money, to like buy her stuff and just make her happy, you know? Yeah, so that was part of the reason why I wanted to stop playing for a little bit.
Mm. You look back on that, because that's also a question that's very interesting as well, you know. As a footballer, you know, we have a very disciplined schedule, you know. We can't go out often, maybe once a week max. We can't do the things that typical other guys can do.
Mm-hmm.
And some girls, I think the right girls, will find that attractive. They find ambition, discipline, hard work attractive.
Right.
The wrong girls try to sway you and push you in the wrong direction. Trust me, I've had that experience, you know, and I realize now at 29 what I want, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they want you to go out with them and their friends. They want you to drink, but you might have training in the morning. They want you to go out to these late nights. But looking back on that experience at 17, do you regret taking some time off for this girl? Or do you think you wanted to do that? And was it like a learning experience? Like this was a little bit of a mistake, a failure. Not a failure, but a mistake. You wish you didn't do that, or did you feel like it helped you in your learning process now at 23 when deciding if you want to get serious with a woman or not, you know, at your level?
Yeah, no, I don't regret it because, like, I liked her a lot, you know? And, like, regrets, I don't really regret anything in life because, like, that shapes me, like, today, you know? Like, those regrets or those mistakes or those experiences, that's what made me, you know, who I am today.
Yeah.
So I don't really regret that at all. So I'm just, I don't know, I'm thankful for like that experience that I had. Yeah. So I don't regret it.
For sure. Yeah. So, you know, now going back, you know, taking us back to now, you know, if you're interested in a girl, she's interested in you, how do you find the right girl for yourself? Because, you know, obviously, you know, it's important to pick the right one. You know what I mean? Like I said before, you can have one who takes you to the next level or takes you down a level. So mm-hmm. so what are your thoughts on that, especially for young footballers watching, getting into the dating scene?
Yeah, like it's hard to like find the right girl because you don't know like the intentions or like, you just don't know, you know? So obviously like when I'm looking for a girl, that's a hard question, man. It's a very hard question.
Yeah. Not many of us can answer, man, trust me. But yeah, I guess you learn from your experiences, you know what I mean? You know, because for me, you know, living in many countries, I've seen that relationship dynamics and how women and men act together are you know, different in every country. So I think that's part of it. Like, you know, for example, in Latvia, it's much different than Sweden. It's much different than the US. It's much different than Germany, you know, so it's interesting. I think you learn a lot about, you know, human behavior and it, like you said, it shapes you, you know, like I like that you said that you don't have any regrets and you learn from from your mistakes and stuff like that, and you push forward. That's what we always say. So yeah, you know, moving off of that question, why did you decide that you wanted to make a move to the US?
No, because James Prosser, my mentor in New Zealand, like, I trust him a lot, you know, and he thought like that was the best thing for me, to go to the US, study and play football, you know, and potentially get drafted. So obviously, yeah, I believed in him, and then yeah, we made the move. But obviously, you know, like, not everything works out.
Yeah.
So that didn't work out. But yeah, it doesn't matter.
Can you describe your experience, you know, because we have a lot of European listeners, we have a lot of American listeners, your experience in the US being, you know, a student athlete. And like you said, the like, they can entice you with a lot of these scholarships and this money to study for free. But then you end up, like, if you actually want to be a very serious footballer, they push you to be more of a student first before an athlete.
Right.
So, like, what was your experience going there? Was it what you expected? Was it different? Did you, you know, enjoy it? What was your overall experience there?
It was very different. Very, very different. Like the studies were hard. Like, I didn't think, like, I had to study that much. Because, like, all I thought was just football, football, football when I got there. But it was, like, a little bit of the opposite. Like, just study, study, study. It was draining. I found it very difficult. School's not for everyone.
Yep.
It wasn't for me. Obviously, like, I met cool guys there as well, you know? Mm. So that's cool. But, like, it was not the best experience, but it's okay.
Mm. What would you rate the level? What would you compare it to?
Like, a football level?
Football level, yeah.
Right. No, it's a good level. It's physical, it's fast, and, like, a lot of long balls. Just, yeah, stuff like that. Whereas here in Europe is more like position.
Mm.
Yeah, like the club that I'm at right now anyways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but the level here is higher because it's professional.
Of course.
Yeah, so how was your experience? I mean, getting called into to the, you know, Sudanese national team. How was that? Must have been a pretty crazy experience and it's nothing like playing for your country, you know?
Yeah, I was very proud because, like, I lived there, like, 2006 at a young age with my grandmother.
Mm.
So my family's still in Africa. Mm-hmm. And, like, so it was just, you know, it was, like, the best feeling ever to, like, represent your country.
Mm.
And, like, to play for, like, millions of people and just to try, like, bring joy to their faces, you know? 100%. Yeah, that's probably, like, the best moment of my, like, footballing career so far. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, it was special.
What was the level going into camp? How was the level there?
No, the level was good. It was during, like, COVID.
Mm.
So I hadn't done, like, mini trainings because we were just always in lockdown.
Mm.
So I struggled a bit, like, with the fitness, like the fitness runnings and stuff like that. But the coach, like, he believed in me, you know, he saw something in me. So he kept on, like, pushing me every single day and stuff like that.
Mm.
So that was good. And then we played, like, against Uganda, and I started both games.
Wow.
Like, for, like, my debut, which is, it was awesome. Like, I wasn't thinking I would start because it was my first time at the camp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
Were you nervous at all?
Yeah, very nervous. Yeah. Very, very nervous.
With that being said, I mean, that's also a huge question I get. You know, we get in the DMs from young footballers. And it's something, you know, that's natural as a footballer, going into big games, you know, first experiences with things, you get nervous, you get anxious. It's a natural feeling. How do you deal with those things? How do you deal with being nervous before games?
You sort of just, like, I don't know, just talk to yourself in your head, like, just believe in yourself, and just, like, confidence comes from, like, preparation. Like, if you prepared well, train well, eat, sleep, if you do, like, all the right things, that, like, will give you, like, confidence going into the game. Yeah, like, it's normal to be nervous. Like, it just means that you care and you know, want to do well.
Yeah, dude, that's a perfect answer, man. I mean, it's, you know, words that would come right out of my mouth. Like, that's why I try to do what I do and promote, you know, healthy lifestyle and, like, a holistic approach to footballers. Because, like you said, you know, if you're well prepared when you step on the pitch for the weekend, you know that you've done everything you can. You know what I mean? And, like, I think people get nervous when they slack, you know what I mean? And they don't do the right things and they take off when they shouldn't have taken off. So, yeah, I completely agree. I think that's that's the importance of taking care of yourself on and off the field, and you know, doing the game analysis, doing those little things to get you to the next level. So after, you know, the trip to the Sudanese national team, that was 2020. Where'd you make your move next?
In 2020, I went back to New Zealand and played for a national league team, Hawke's Bay. I think I played maybe 6 games, mm-hmm. because it was like towards the end of the, that season. So I played like 6 games. Mm-hmm. And then 2021 season started. So I went back to that to the Wellington Phoenix Academy.
Okay.
So I went and played for the reserves for the 2021 season.
Mm.
And then played there, and then I trained with the first team, the A League club.
Okay.
For like a few months, and then I didn't get a first team contract. But I don't even know Stephen Taylor.
Yeah,
I read a bit about your stuff before, okay. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's he was the captain of the Wellington Phoenix. So he decided to, I don't know, like retire from professional football, I think. So he went and coached over in Dubai. So him and my agent at the time, Graham, organized for me to go over there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I went over there. Yeah, I went over there the end of 2021, early 2022.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we're doing preseason. And then we had a game, a friendly game against Riga FC.
Oh, wow.
And then I played pretty well. And then Riga FC brought me over to the club that I'm at now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, let's go back real quick. I mean, just for the listeners that don't know, Wellington Phoenix is they play in the A-League, in the Australian League. That's the only, is that the only full professional team in New Zealand?
Yeah.
Okay. And how would you compare the level there right now to Aotearoa where you're at?
It's better, I think.
Well, interesting.
Yeah, it's better. Yeah, it's better. But it's, like, Aotearoa's in Europe. And like when you're in Europe, like there's many, many clubs around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like the window is a lot bigger to like make your next move, stuff like that.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, I just think I always tell people in the US and that like the mobility within Europe to move through the leagues is much better. You know what I mean? Like you don't like, you know, you're playing for a club in Dubai and you have a friendly club in Europe, like you don't know what can happen, you know? And yeah, I mean, I think also it's, How did you build that relationship with Stephen Taylor? Because obviously he regarded you as a probably a top player and probably a disciplined player and a great attitude. How did you build that, you know?
Like the relationship in New Zealand, like with him, or?
Yeah, because, you know, the reason I asked that question, because I want to point out to youngsters, like everyone always asks how to build a better network, how to get connections. And I think the main thing is, you correct me if I'm wrong, is like you treat yourself like a professional on and off the field. And if that person is a professional like Stephen Taylor and they notice disciplined individuals, they align with those people, you know? So what I'm saying is like, how did you build like a good persona in his head that he wanted to bring you over to his new club?
Right, maybe like he saw me every day, like at trainings. And like, so maybe he saw like I had a good body language to train, to work, the way I treat others, like just always happy, smiling. And like that attracts like people, you know, to like get to know you or like wanna do something for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he saw something in me and just wanted to like help me. When he found out that I wasn't going to get a first team contract.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you play with Sohil Var over there?
Who?
Sohil Var?
No.
No, you don't know him? Okay, yeah, because he was at Gulf United. Maybe he left before he came. Canadian kid. But, yeah, man, I mean, so how long were you at Gulf United? How was that experience?
I was there for like 3 weeks.
Yeah? Wow, yeah. Wow. And how was the level there?
No, the level was good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was good.
Very hot, huh?
Very hot.
Yeah.
But I like playing in, you know, in hot weather more than cold.
For sure. How was the lifestyle in Dubai?
No, it was okay. You know, like I was there for 3 weeks, so I didn't really like do too much. I was just everyday training.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
with the boys, yeah. Chilling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it was good. Like, yeah, we went to like Dubai Mall, Burj Khalifa to like look around and stuff.
The facilities there are unreal, huh?
Yeah,
Golf. Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you know, if you could take us through a bit about yourself, you know, what would you say like your main strengths are as a player? Like what makes you stand out in the middle of the pitch, right, besides your height?
Probably like my defensive like work rate. Like I like, you know, hard challenges, hard tackles, stuff like that. Yeah, I don't I don't know how to describe myself, you know, I don't really.
Let's, how about this? Take us back to the game against Riga. You know, what do you think that, what do you think they saw in you?
Yeah, like I was very aggressive in that game because I wanted to like prove a point.
Yeah.
And I wanted to like really test myself against these European clubs. Yeah, so I was just tackling a lot, like being aggressive, winning my challenges, winning headers, and just moving the ball. Like, yeah, I had a good game.
As a defensive mid, you know, are there any players you get inspiration from? Do you try to mirror your game off of any specific players, or just, you know, you like your own style? Like, did you have any idols growing up as a defensive mid?
Like, I had no, like, idol in my position. But, like, obviously Ronaldinho, Ronaldo, Neymar, like, I love those guys, you know? But, like, the stuff they do, like, I cannot do that in my position, because if I lose the ball, the other team will score or whatever.
For sure.
Yeah, so I didn't really idolize any defensive midfielders growing up.
If there are any, like, you know, defensive midfielders, center mids out there watching, you have any, like, specific tips for them, you know, to get noticed, you know, through games like this, or get that opportunity? What's your overall advice for midfielders?
Just do the simple things right. If you like make a mistake, like don't be afraid to get on the ball. Like again, you know, just get on the ball, move the ball. Just play hard, I guess.
For sure. Very good statement, because I think especially when you're younger, you know, when you make mistakes, you start to shy away from the ball.
Right.
But like if you make a couple mistakes and you want to keep asking for the ball, even if you lost it, the teammates still have the confidence in you, the coach still has the confidence in you. So, yeah, I think that's a very good point. How about, let's take us back to your childhood when you were growing up and stuff. Did you do any individual work to improve your technique? Did you do any physical work? You know, how did you look at your own individual self outside of team training?
Like, we played like a lot of, like, after school football, like street football. There was like a big group of us that would go to like the park, like Nainai Park, and just play for like hours like of just playing, you know. And I felt like that like helped me a lot. Like I really enjoyed that time, and like now it's like I don't know if I see any kids like doing that, like after school and stuff. But street football was like, that was really like extra training I did.
What about from a physical perspective?
No, I don't think so.
So I mean, if you could just take us through right now playing it out, a typical day in the life. What time you wake up, what time you have breakfast, what you have for breakfast. Just, I like to give young footballers watching a practical sense of how you live a day in your life. I mean, I'm sure they've heard it a lot. It's very basic routine, discipline, but yeah, just walk us through, you know, typical day.
Right, so usually like we have training like pretty much every single day. So 9:20 is when I leave my apartment. So I usually like wake up like an hour before that. Wake up, I drink like as much water as I can in the morning. Like that's the first thing I do. I drink like a bottle of water.
Sparkling or still?
Nah, just normal water still.
Ah, man.
Well, you like sparkling water?
Yeah, bro, sparkling. Get some
more. Yeah, just drink a bottle of water and then have like almond milk with like oats.
Nice.
In the morning.
Nice.
Have that, have like banana, and like obviously have a shower, brush my teeth, all of that.
Yeah.
And then get picked up at like 9:20, and then go down to training. We get there like 35-40 minutes before training starts, and then we do activation for like 15-20 minutes. And then like every like second day maybe we'll do like a gym exercise, like core or like mobility in the gym and stuff like that. And then go down to training, usually like 60 minutes to like 75 minutes every single day. And then after that, there's lunch like at training, like after training.
Okay.
So we have lunch like pasta, chicken,
nice.
Rice.
Nice.
Yeah, salads and stuff.
So
then training will be done, shower, go home. I like to take a nap, like straight after training for like an hour.
Yeah.
After that, wake up, relax, go on my phone. And then sometimes I will go to the gym, like depending how hard training was that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a MyFitness guy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of nice things there, huh?
Nah, I go there to work out.
Yeah, okay. That nice sauna in there and everything. How's the vibe at the training? How are the guys and everything like?
Nah, the guys are cool.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of Africans.
Yeah.
There's a few South Americans as well.
Nice.
And Latvians, German, Croatian.
Yeah.
That's good, man. That's good. Nice. Good mix. Yeah. Yeah, man, I always tell people, like, you know, Africans, you know, really are always happy, always smiling, always grateful. It's good to be around them, you know. We got a couple of Africans on our team as well. Yeah, man, I mean, so you know, what time you usually go to sleep? What do you usually have for dinner?
Right, so for dinner, so I don't really cook because I cooked one time and I got really sick.
Really?
Yeah, so there's like, it was bad. So there's like one restaurant, man, I want to give them a shout out, but I don't even know the name.
Where is it at? I might know.
Wait, let me get it out real quick.
Yeah. Well, I've never been there.
Yeah, but it's really good, you know? Yeah, so I go there like, pretty much every day.
What is it called? Sedonia? Sedonia Gastro Pub.
Yeah, they do.
They like, better give you a discount for this shout out.
They do like pastas, rice noodles, beef, like everything.
Nice.
You know, yeah, so I'll go there and eat, you know? I eat like at 8.
Okay.
I have dinner like pretty late, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, like 8. Now I go to bed, gosh, very late. Maybe like 1:30, 2 a.m.
Yeah,
which is not good.
You're a late night owl.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Just chilling, watching movies?
Just on my phone, just relaxing.
For sure. So outside of football, what do you like to do on your off days?
I usually just like, I go to that coffee shop, you know, and just relax and just like clear my head, walk around, go to like mall, like do some shopping. Like I don't really like to stay inside like my apartment, you know,
because
like thoughts just start coming to your head.
Yeah.
So I like to go out and just relax.
100%.
Go to like coffee shop, shopping.
Yeah. Any specific things you like to do for recovery? Ice bath, sauna.
Right. Yeah. I go to the sauna like a bit as well. Sauna. Go on the bike.
Nice.
Maybe
nice.
For like 30 minutes. Stretch.
So yeah, brother. Nice little break. So coffee break, sparkling water break. Yeah, I just wanted to get into it. I don't think it's a very, let's say it's a taboo subject. Not a lot of people like to talk about it, but like on this podcast, I like to bring out the truth and everything because I think that's how we learn as footballers and as humans. And, you know, I asked you before, you know, about Latvia and what you thought. And obviously, you know, I don't see from your perspective, everyone has their own set of eyes, you know. What has been your overall thought living here, the overall vibe, you know, day to day, social life? Because I think that's very important as a footballer as well. You know, obviously you got to pick the right friends to hang out with. Most of them are your teammates. How do you see that the day to day?
Right. So it's like, it's challenging, like some days, you know. Obviously, like, I think the country is like, it's a very small country. And I don't know if it's like really like open like to the world, because not like a lot of like people coming to this country. Like I had no idea what Latvia was before I even came here.
Yeah,
so obviously like me being from Africa and being, you know, black, like people look at me like a little different, you know,
because
obviously like they don't see people that look like me like each day, every day or whatever. Like they see us like on the TV and stuff. So it's like unusual, I think, for them, you know. So that's been challenging.
I'm sorry to hear that, man. I mean, it's disappointing. You know, have there been any specific instances that you've just been like surprised, and like what's your response to that? It must be tough mentally, you know?
Right. Yeah, so like obviously like every day, like most days, you know, some people will come up to me and just say how dark I am, you know, like I'm very black, like they've never seen somebody like me and stuff like that. You know, which is like, it's frustrating, you know, like I get angry, but like I'm a professional football player, you know, as well. So I can't like react too much, you know, because it's not going to look good on me or my club, you know.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, like I say like a few words and stuff and then that's that. But like, like every single time, you know, it's it's not good. Like I don't want to say like I'm used to it because it's happened like so much.
Yeah.
But like, it's just I can't do anything like about it really, you know. So I have to like, not accept it, but like obviously I'll say something, you know, and then just Let it be and like try not think about it too much.
100%. Have you noticed that in other countries or has it been more like obvious and pertinent here?
No, just here. Yeah, like obviously in America, no, because obviously there's so many Africans, like black people there as well. In New Zealand, no. In Australia, no. Belgium, no. Like no other country apart from here, you know. And like, which is, it's just surprising for me, you know, because it's 2023, you know. I didn't think like this was like still around.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I've seen that as well, man. Like, you know, people still hold their behaviors from, you know, that they've learned from others, you know what I mean? It's sad, and nowadays, you know, there's media swaying one person to the other side, and no one can think for themselves nowadays, you know what I mean? So it's sad, you know? But yeah, I mean, you know, obviously you talked about also one incident. I don't know if you want to talk about any specific teams or anything like that, but you said you underwent an incident during a match. There was some racism.
Yeah, obviously it was like a couple months ago, I think, you know, we played Tukums, and then one guy was being racist, you know, which is unbelievable, like, because he's a football player, like, he knows that there's black people in football, you know, like, he knows that that's not okay, like, he knows that racism is not okay, you know, like, which is so, like, heartbreaking, you know, because, like, the sport should just bring everybody together and stuff like that.
100%.
And then what made it worse was, like, the ref gave him, like, a yellow card for that, you know, and, like, and like nobody really, like nobody from his club or the Federation of Latvia didn't really like take any actions of that, you know, which is.
Did you report it to your club and did they take any action or?
Yes, my club did, you know, but like, that was all, you know, and like, it's just sad that like the Federation didn't like do anything about it because then it makes it seem like it's okay, you know,
100%.
which is not.
Yeah.
Like a yellow card like this.
Yeah.
And I got a yellow card for reacting as well.
No way. Yeah. No way. Right. And you told the ref what happened.
Yes, like I told the ref everything. And the guy was, he was admitting, you know, as well. And he was apologizing, saying, oh, it was in the moment, you know. And so the ref knew about it, you know. And then, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we see it in the top clubs. But, I mean, it's not an easy thing. I mean, you know, what about advice for, you know, people who go through that? You know, I mean, it's not easy. Like you said, you get angry, but I think the most important thing, like you said, is you keep a calm head and a cool head, because obviously, I'm sure if someone says that to you, you just want to crack them in the face and really show them that it's not right. But as you said, I think as a professional footballer, it's very well said, you know, you have to act like a pro on and off the pitch. So what's your advice to people going through that, you know what I mean? Just
Yes, obviously everybody like reacts differently, you know.
Yeah.
So I would just say just like care about it, but don't let it like bother you. Just, you know, like you're better than that person, you know, like just I don't know, because everyone acts like differently.
Yeah,
I would just say like it's not okay, but I don't know, like I have no advice for them because it's...
Yeah, I mean, I think like the best advice is to listen to what you said, just keep a cool head, move on, you know, and then, you know, just watch out, you know, watch yourself with these people. But yeah, man, let's move off of this subject, you know, thanks for sharing that. I think it's going to be very helpful for people. I want to take us back to the trial in Belgium. How did that go? How was that experience? Was that your first trial in Europe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I was really nervous because it was my first trial in Europe. So I was training with the academy, like under 21s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I was there with a player from New Zealand as well.
Oh, okay.
So we were there trialing together, which like made everything easier and just more fun, you know?
Yeah.
So obviously it was difficult. Like I didn't struggle, but like maybe they wanted me to be like the best player in the academy because I was coming from like from a foreign country.
For sure.
So if they were to use like their foreign like sport, it needs to be like a top player, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then so that didn't really work out, but it was good though, you know. Like the coach was nice, you know. He said I'm a good player to like keep going.
Mm-hmm,
so that was really nice of him.
What did you notice about the level over there compared to New Zealand and Australia? Like how they regarded football? What did you observe there?
Like all of them were like real professional, even though they're like academy players, you know, like they would eat right, drink water, like and they just look professional, like,
yeah,
coming in to trainings and stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they were like all technical as well, like very technical.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Good touches, passing, just all of that, you know, like you can see that that they started playing football at a very young age.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those players were good.
Any specific tips that you have for players when going on trial? Any specific advice? You know, like you said before, this is your advice from your perspective, from your own eyes, from you as a player and your experiences. So maybe players can take it on board, they can try it out and see if it works, and then maybe for other players it won't work. So from your perspective, what's some advice for players going on trial?
Yeah, so what I would say is, like when you go, for example, like to the changing rooms, like shake everyone's hands, be nice, be polite,
yeah,
have manners, and like maybe like when training is done, like pick up the cones, you know, make it easier for the managers, you know, like the team managers and stuff. Yeah, just helping out like in any way you can, and just yeah. And then when you're playing, try to keep it simple. Like don't start doing like silly tricks and stuff like that, you know, because I don't know, maybe it might seem arrogant or not, but just play it simple. Like I'm a midfielder, so I'll, you know, play it simple. Try like, I don't know, mm-hmm, like.
Yeah, I mean, based off of what you said, I could chime in. I mean, one of the greatest quotes that I heard from one of these directors in New York, Maximilian Mansfield, if you're listening, he played in Germany, has a lot of players in Germany and throughout Europe, and he said something very interesting. When you're on trial, when you're going to a new place, everyone thinks that they need to stand out. But I think what you should do in the beginning, the first couple of days, is first you fit in. You fit into the culture. Once they like see that like you're friendly with the guys, you're good with the guys, people like you, then you can start showing your qualities, you know, like your strengths, and you can start showing your standout qualities. Yeah. Obviously, depending on your position. Obviously, it's different from a striker and a winger compared to a center back or a defensive midfielder. So I think the goal in the beginning is to first fit into the culture, fit into the system, see what the coach wants, see the role he wants for example, his defensive midfielder to play, and then try to emulate that, you know? And then I think it's the same thing. You know, either the club likes you or they don't, and you just have to look yourself in the mirror at the end of the day and you say, I gave it my all, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
That's perfect, bro. But you know, like, a lot of things, and you, like, know how to, like, say it as well. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know a lot, and you know how to say it as well. Whereas me, I struggle to, like, say it.
Yeah, I mean, bro, honestly, like, I've been doing this for 7 years, man. 7, 8 years, like, tons of, like, research on this. Yeah, I mean, you could ask Adam, you know. I mean, he, like, when we lived together, you know, he always said, like, he doesn't know how I do it and stuff like that. And then once he started doing it, it's just like anything, like reps, right, practice, and then boom. You know, and it's, this, for me, this is, you know, I've told my team and everything and, like, people that work for me that, like, this is my favorite thing to do. Like, I love conversations, you know what I mean? I love, like, learning about people, like their why, because everyone has their own journey, you know what I mean? And I can learn off of everyone, you know what I mean? So no matter who they are, no matter where they come, it's like, I think that's what that life is all about, like those conversations that you go deep into, you could learn off of each other, help each other out. And I think that's the overall goal, you know what I mean? That's why I have this stuff, and that's why podcasting is becoming more popular, because you could dive into the human, you know what I mean, and you could learn directly off of their experiences and their knowledge and perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
But you're a genius, man.
Nah, not really. I'm trying to get there. But yeah, brother, I mean, as we get towards the end of the podcast, I just want to ask you some quick fire questions. First off, who's the best player you ever played against?
I would say either Bertrand Traoré, who plays for Aston Villa at the moment, and I think his name is like Bosima. He plays for, I think, Tottenham.
Okay.
I don't know if I said his name correctly.
Okay.
Yeah, he's good. And then there's another, but I don't know this guy's name. He plays for, I think, Monaco in the French league.
Uh-huh.
He plays midfield. Okay. He's from Mali.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how to say his name, but this guy was a beast.
Wow. Where'd you play against these guys? National team?
Yeah, for South Sudan.
What do you notice about these guys? Like, for example, Traoré. Like, what's what's something, you know, different about him?
Right. He's just got so much flair and like he's tricky, you know. I don't know how to explain it, you know. He's very good.
He's a baller.
Right? Yeah.
How about who's the best player you ever played with?
Played with? I don't know.
Maybe. You want to give your boy some shout outs?
Because if I give like one person like, you know, a shout out, then, you know.
All right, top three. Let's make it easy.
Top three.
Maybe like Valentino for the national team. Mm-hmm. Give him a shout out. Machop. Mm-hmm. Machop. And I'll say Tito Okello and Toa and CJ. Just everyone, all of them.
All right, so interesting question. If you were on death row and you had your last meal, what are you eating?
My last meal?
Yeah, last meal. It's gotta be a couple courses.
Right.
Appetizer, what are you drinking? What are you eating? What's for dessert?
Yeah. Probably like Big Mac combo.
Yeah.
Like Big Mac without lettuce, fries, light fries.
Any sauce with that, with the fries?
No sauce. With Fanta.
Okay.
I have that. Probably have, I'd have pizza as well, like margarita pizza.
Yeah.
Have that. Probably like candy, like lollies, you know, like gummy beers and stuff like that.
Just
all the bad food, you know, that I can't eat like every single day.
Yeah. So is that what you're eating for your cheat meals?
I have McDonald's like maybe like once every like 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
not, yeah, I don't really eat too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I love it though.
What about African food? That's high level, huh? Not into it, huh?
No, I love it,
it.
Injera.
I've heard about that.
Injera and like all the sauces and soups and stuff egg, meat.
Yeah,
that's delicious.
Yeah, one of the guys who played for us a couple months ago was from Nigeria and he told me about injera. He's like, bro, it just gives you so much power, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's some, obviously, you know, like, there's something in these African foods because No, African food is good, but nah, like for the cheap meal, I have like, you know, McDonald's, pizza,
mm-hmm.
just all that bad food,
mm-hmm.
you know, for my last meal.
For sure. What about top three, let's start with vacation destinations that you want to check out, countries?
I mean, I'm not really like a traveler, you know, I don't really, but if I was to go somewhere, everything is paid for, flights, hotels, everything is booked, I'd probably want to go to like, maybe like Bali.
Yeah,
I want to see that. Yeah. Maybe Hawaii.
That's a good call. Yeah.
Why? And one more. Maybe like Chicago in America.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good call. With that being said, what was your overall thoughts of the U.S.? How did you like America? How did you like the people? What was your experience there?
No, America was good. Like, I liked it. I liked the people. And like,
pretty open-minded, welcoming. Yeah. That's what I tell people, man. Like, unfortunately nowadays, man, like even in Europe, like, bro, like you tell people you're American, they just think right away you're stupid or something like that. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, man. Like, go over there and see what's good. Yeah, every country's got stupid people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
I'm glad. Yeah, I like America.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
That's awesome. Yeah, I think it's also based on who you are and you're like, you're an open-minded guy. You know what I mean? So, like you said here, there's a lot of closed-minded people. With that, how's New Zealand, man? I want to visit there. I hear it's fucking...
New Zealand's beautiful.
Yeah, and people are really nice, huh?
Very nice.
Kiwis, different level.
Very nice.
Yeah. What about Australia?
No, Australia's very nice as well, you know?
Yeah.
But their personality is a lot different from New Zealanders, I think.
In what way?
Like, I feel like New Zealanders are more, like, a little bit, like, reserved. They're not really... New Zealand, they're, like, polite. Like, very polite.
Yeah.
Whereas Australians, they sort of just say, like, what they're thinking and just stuff, like they're just more outgoing.
Yeah.
Whereas New Zealand's a little bit more reserved.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where are the birds better? That's important, isn't it?
No, New Zealand.
Yeah.
Just because that's my hood. You know?
Yeah. I hear Australia, the birds are a different level, but I gotta visit both places, you know.
Right.
And let's say dream club to play for.
Dream club? Manchester United.
Absolutely love that. That's your team,
exactly.
Huh?
Yeah.
No.
You know,
Liverpool's my team.
Nah, Man United.
Yeah.
That'd be a dream.
For sure. But yeah, man. Enjoyed you being on the pod.
Thank you, bro.
First podcast ever for you.
Ever.
I think you did well, man.
Nervous,
you did well,
nervous.
Bro. Nah, you did well. Any last thoughts, last words for the audience? Any piece of advice?
Any piece of advice? if you're a football player or just, I don't know, just enjoy life. Life is hard, but it'll get better. Just be happy, enjoy life. That's what I can say.
Manny, thanks for being on, brother. Appreciate you, man. Yeah.
Guys, thanks so much for tuning in to the 109th podcast, the fifth in-person podcast, first in-person podcast in Latvia with a special guest. We thank him for sharing his journey. If you want to follow him, all the stuff will be below in the bio. You'll check him out. You see he's a very nice, humble, kind guy, and I'm sure he'll answer your questions. And any interested things, you could slide into his DM.
Yes, thank you.